This is The Hard News Vegan. I'm Pamela Rice, your host, author of 101 Reasons Why I'm a Vegetarian, both in pamphlet and in book form. Thank you, Joseph Puentes, for technical support. In the background, you hear Gothic Prelude by Kathy Reynolds. Here at The Hard News Vegan, you're going to hear about the issues, vegan and vegetarian issues. I'm not much for the lifestyle stuff, and anyway, there's no shortage of that wherever you go in vegan land. I hope you like the show. You can hear other podcasts in the series at www.vivaveggie.org/podcast. That's vivaveggie.org/podcast, Viva Veggie with 1 G. You can go to that web address to send me an email. So without further ado, Hard News Vegan.
Greetings, people. This is Pamela Rice. It's Hard News Vegan, and this is October 18, 2008. And what an October this has been. Actually, it was started mid-September. We've been hearing some very interesting things from the Talking Heads on TV, and I've been reading some amazing things in the financial press, and I am here trying to make head and tail out of it. I'm trying to educate myself. I'm trying to figure out what the heck is going on here with the economy. And I think I understand it. I think I understand that we are all kind of floating around on some kind of magic carpet, and all of a sudden we looked around and we looked below us and we saw that there's nothing but thin air below us, and we're up some kind of creek, baby, without a paddle. It's really bad news. And I see the people in charge as being 100% culpable. We ought to boot them out in big time. You know, I hear that the government is now investigating people at Lehman Brothers. I was happy to hear that, you know, a small, like, dozen people, or what it was, a couple dozen people over there, they're trying to bring up on charges. You can bet your life that they're all going to get off. I hate to be so cynical. I honestly do. So hang in there. I'm going to try and talk about something interesting today. And I think I've come up with some things. I've done some research. With all of this going on, all this absurdity going on Wall Street, I'm right here. You know, Wall Street is like a mile away from where I sit right now. All this going on, this criminality, people that are in control of vast amounts of capital, of money. I'm not sure they have any money anymore, but I do know that they have control. And I think that they should be taken out of control, and we need to just try and think rationally about this situation and get these guys out of here, rethink the way that we run our society, get back to a constitutional government, because we have, with all of this, we have thrown the Constitution out the window. Sorry to be pontificating here, but there is... You know, the word corporation is not in the Constitution. It's not there. It's not there. If people want to go double check that, go ahead. I've read it through. That word is not in there. The word we the people is there. The word we the people. In fact, it's the first three words of the Constitution. Okay. Another thing that's there, apparently I didn't count it, but I have heard that in six places it is mentioned how we the people can impeach the leader of the government. And I think we have to impeach some people. But let me get on to my point today. I do want to share with you my impassioned plea, and share with you my exasperation, which I'm sure you share, about these bailouts and what's going on. It's very, very wrong. And so I was possessed. I says, what should I talk about in my next podcast? And I thought, certainly, I must talk. If we're all this talk about bailouts for the richest or the most powerful, most controlling of all the people who control the world, let's talk about the other end of the spectrum. That is the lowest of the low, the people who are dying of hunger. Every day, across our earth, our world. And so what did I do? I went to www.fao.org. That's the Food and Agriculture Organization of the United Nations. And that is the place where I, you know, you find out the truth of what's really going on. And if you're a vegan scholar, I guess I should call myself a vegan scholar, you know, it's bad news all the way around. And where do you find the most dire of the bad news? You go to the Food and Agriculture Organization of the United Nations, because that's where the tire meets the road. Is that the expression? I'm not sure. But, you know, that's where you get down to the brass tacks, baby. You find out the real statistics about how the rest of us live. You know, we see on television all these pretty people prancing by, and then, you know, what's really going on? You know, everyday people and the struggles that I put myself in that category. We have the struggles we have, and how we have to stand up to the people who are controlling our lives. And I went to the Food and Agriculture Organization, I went to the BBC, I went to Reuters, I went to these places. I went to the United Kingdom, you know, for my news, to find out what's going on, because you can't really find it too much here. CNN a little bit, you know, but it's all very sing-songy and everything. But what's really going on out there? What are we doing to our planet? Who's dying of hunger? How many? Why this shouldn't be the case? where do animal foods have, you know, come into the picture? So let me hit you with some stats, babe. Okay, A number one, here it is. You kind of don't have to know anything more. It's estimated, okay, we can't be really sure, of course, that 25,000 people die every day, some all across the world, as a result of hunger and poverty. There shouldn't be anybody dying of hunger in this world. What is this, 2008? We have every technology in the world. We have transportation systems. We know how to grow food. We know how to grow food sustainably. We do. We know how. We don't do it. We don't do it. We don't distribute food properly. We don't seem to have the money to do that. And so let me get to some of those figures. The United Nations, 1996, had a goal, came forth with a goal. These were in the high rolling days of the Clinton era, when we had the whole big bubble, you know, Wall Street bubble back then was really bubbling along. And we had some high-minded goals. And there was this Millennium Project where the world gave itself till 2015 to cut in half the number of people who are faced with hunger. every day. And that number at that time was, I believe, about in the mid 850, somewhere around 850 million people. You know? Okay. We have 6 billion people or so, you know, in the world, 6.5 billion people. So 850 million people is, you know, edging up there toward a billion, you know. Anyway, just to put it sort of in perspective. So we wanted to cut that in half, so somewhere down in 400 million people. We wanted to reduce it to there. Now, personally, I don't think anybody should be in that position. Not one person on planet Earth. Not while you are feeding grain to animals. Okay? Say it. I'm going to say it. And say it proud, vegans out there. Say these words to people. Say that there should be no hunger in the world. You know? In fact, I know everybody, most people don't like Fidel Castro very much, but when he heard about this goal I read, you know, he says, this is absurd. This is absurd. And I had to agree. I had to agree. There should be no hunger in the world. Not when you're feeding animals. Feeding animals so you can slaughter them. Not feeding animals so you can support their lives. But it's feeding animals so you can slaughter them so you can eat them. I mean, there should be no hunger among human beings in the world. Certainly not when you have, within a two-week period, $700 billion to give, you know, to funnel into, you know, the pockets of Wall Street crooks and criminals. Sorry, that's the way I see it. And I hope, you know, you may agree with me. There's more. The statistics I'm going to give you right now, there's more. Now, let me just say that prices have been going up lately. Prices have risen, in fact, 45% in the last 9 months, okay, according to the head of the Food and Agriculture Organization, and his name is Jacques Diouf, D-I-O-U-F, D-I-O-U-F, okay, if you want to Google his name. He's the FAO Director General, Jacques Diouf. And so, you know, prices have been rising. And so there have been food riots this year. I haven't heard about any lately, but I just maybe haven't read about it. But earlier this year, there were a lot of food riots. I mean, prices have gone up. And there are, according to the World Bank, they predict that high food and fuel prices will increase the number of malnourished people in the world by 44 million this year, 2008, to a total of 967 million. So we were at somewhere around 800 million people. We wanted to reduce that down to some 400 million people. But the World Bank, thank you, World Bank. World Bank, aren't you supposed to be the one who is supposed to solve these types of problems? You know, but you're now predicting that we're edging up to a mere a cool billion people. Edging up to a billion people are malnourished around the world when we feed grain to animals. You know, wow. Also, another problem here: why we've got prices going up. The rich countries are distorting world markets by spending upwards about $372 billion a year in agricultural subsidies. You know, the subsidies that rich countries give their farmers, you know, they distort the markets. They a person who is trying to make a living in the world market for grains or whatever. In a developing country, where that country does not have the money to distribute agricultural subsidies, you know. So there's no parity, and the rich country dumps agricultural goods into these developing countries, you know, and then distorts the markets there, and then that person, you know, is somehow has to survive. But these are the reasons why you have a billion people who live in poverty around the world, you know. So it's economic. It's there's disparity. There's injustice on all these things. And the rich countries are taking care of their own at the expense of poor people around the world. And it's very, very wrong. Now, recently the Food and Agriculture Organization said that to help them stay on track to try and reach this goal of having HALVING, the number of people who are living in poverty, they needed $22 billion this year. They got only 10% of that in donations from rich countries. Okay. $22 billion. And so only, so they only got, what is that? $2.2 billion. They got a, you know, a couple billion dollars to deal with hunger around the world. Okay. From rich countries. Meanwhile, America has $600 billion, you know, for the bailouts. Now, I haven't even hit you with some of the worst here. The best is yet to come. I've got some really good statistics. Africa. We could let me see. Africa needs about $30 billion a year to ensure food security. $30 billion, okay? An entire continent, you know, of millions and millions of people. I hate to use the word mere in front of the word billion, 30 billion, but compared, again, to 600 billion, it is a mere $30 billion. You know, what is it that you, as a compassionate human being, as a kind-hearted, a caring individual, a citizen of the world, what is it that you wish for? In your sweetest moments, you wish for an end to world hunger. And suddenly you're told that you as a taxpayer must pay this, you know, forevermore, and your children's and children's children down the line, going to have to pay off the $600 billion to bail out Wall Street because they've been playing a casino game with your 401k money. It gets more absurd by the second. And you could help, God bless, eradicate poverty and hunger throughout the entire continent of Africa for a mere $30 billion a year. And it probably wouldn't even be that over time, because what you would want to do, of course, is to help people help themselves, help people so they can help themselves, so they can help the land, so they can live sustainably on the land. So there's some kind of equity in the world, some kind of modicum, tiny bit of social justice. Anyway, but I haven't even told you the worst. I keep saying that. So let me get to it. Here it is. Here's the biggie. The world spent $1,200 billion on armaments in the year 2006. This is the world, the total world. The world. The world as a whole spent $1,200 billion on arms in 2006. Okay? So compare $30 billion to $1,200 billion, and I'll do the math for you if you can't do it quickly enough. That's 40 times. The world spent 40 times as much on armaments as it needs to spend to eradicate hunger throughout the entire continent of Africa. Okay? So let's put that in perspective. If we had food security for the entire continent of Africa and maybe spend a couple, you know, a few billion more around the world to eradicate hunger around the world, which we should do. We should do. There's no reason why we shouldn't. No reason whatsoever. We would cause less there would be less desperation in the world. There would be less need for people to be fighting each other. You know, why are we fighting each other? Well, see, my theory, and I think I'm on track with this, is that it's simply to put money in the pockets of war profiteers. It's not even for oil. I don't even think it's for oil, because we could easily figure out how to live sustainably. But no, the people, the war profiteers, don't want that. They want this illusion that we need oil, you know. But we could easily figure out. We've got the best engineers in the world right here in America. We could easily figure out how to live sustainably all over the world, not only sustainably with the earth. We could live sustainably with regarding energy. We could retool our entire economy. We could get high-speed rail and the sky's the limit. You know, if we would just think intelligently, but we obviously can't do that. I mean, there's more to come. Okay, so $1,200 billion in armaments that we spent in 2006. I don't know what it was in this year, or 2007. But, you know, it was in that neighborhood. You know, it hasn't gone down. Okay, let me get back to vegetarianism. Ha ha ha. That would be nice. Okay, so, well, speaking of sustainability, first of all, before I forget, let me just state a few quotations that came out of a meeting at the Food and Agriculture Organization, you know, just a couple days ago. This meeting might still be going on. I really should have checked that. But it is an anniversary every time, every mid-October, the Food and Agriculture Organization gets together. I think in 1945 was when the organization came into existence, and so in October, and so they have a annual conference every year. And here are some of the statements that came out of the conference. And the people at this conference, at the Food and Agriculture Organization, these are the people who God bless them, I mean, tend to issues of hunger around the world. You know, in their bureaucratic ways, however they do it, they're doing their best, you know, begging the rich world to give them a few crumbs to try and help them. See, that's another thing. I mean, they think that they can spend their way out of these problems. Personally, I think that that's not, you know, that's part of the way to go, certainly in the beginning. But I think that we have to retool, our economies and the way that we look at things. It seems everywhere I look, I walk down the street and absolutely everything has a dollar value on it. You know, my time, my moments, water has kindness has a price. My genes have a price. I mean, everything has a monetary, commercial value to it. And we're so far away from seeing, you know, how the best things in life should not have any kind of value attached to them at all, you know, yet everything does. You know, I when I see people on the street in New York and it's it's the case more and more, you know, where you see people begging on the street or just splayed out on the street, you know, dying of some kind of substance abuse problem. And you go by and you really, you walk past them and everybody else is walking past them. And every time you walk past a person like that, there's something inside you that says, you know, this is so wrong. This is so wrong. People need to help other people. My humanity has gone away. And my humanity, now that has a price. It's got some kind of value to it, or no value, or whatever. Anyway, let me get to some of these quotations from these people. They're beside themselves, as I am, about this bailout. They are, because they asked for so little, $22 billion to keep up with their goal of the Millennium Project to, you know, reduce poverty, got 10%, okay? Here is the head of the UN's Food and Agriculture Organization, Jacques Diouf, and he said, the media have highlighted the financial crisis at the expense of the food crisis. This is the surest way of forging, so he's beside himself. He doesn't understand how we could be so fast to give money away to these rich bankers and bank people and Federal Reserve people and Treasury people. And yet turn our backs utterly on the poor. Former UN Secretary General Kofi Annan said, my position is that the financial crisis is a serious one and deserves urgent attention and focus, but so is the question of hunger, and millions are likely to die. Is that any less urgent? He asked. Pope Benedict said the blame for hunger could be directed at boundless speculation, quote-unquote, in markets partly blamed for high food and fuel prices. But as he pointed, but he also pointed out that it is selfishness, quote-unquote, selfishness, he used the word selfishness, by the world's rich and a poor distribution of resources. And Egypt's First Lady, Suzanne Mubarak, okay, she spoke at the convention. Now, the Pope wasn't there, but she was at this convention, as was Diouf and Kofi Annan. Mrs. Mubarak said, and I think her words are some of the most, or some of the strongest, we have just witnessed how $700 billion were raised in record time to salvage the financial markets. I believe that the scale of the food crisis is of such magnitude that it warrants nothing less than the same swift and decisive measures to curb its lethal progression. Let us all remember that it is the lives of millions of people that are hanging in the balance. Back to sustainability and back to vegetarianism. Now, if people, you know, an influx of money could be helpful. Unfortunately, the Food and Agriculture Organization, you know, believes that people should start, you know, getting the money they want is so that poor people can put fertilizer on their ground so they can, you know, keep up growing crops, you know, and keep up with, I guess, the way things are done in the West. I'm not real hot on the fertilizer use. You know, I think that what we need to do is cultivate the earth with more sustainability, and fertilizer is not the way to do that. The only reason why you need fertilizer, or you need some fertilizer, you know, but we need to pare back on that enormously. But the only way to do that, is if we need to cultivate less land. And the only way that we can survive by cultivating less land is if we stop eating animals, because you have to cultivate a whole lot more land so you can feed to those animals so you can eat them. So what we need to do is pare back farming, pare back the invasiveness of farming, and farming gets very invasive when you start pouring fertilizer on your land. I mean, the way I would see it is that we need to put an influx of money into this. We need to get food to people who are at risk right now. We need to do that immediately, and we need to pour money into that situation. That's a number one. After that, we need to help people help themselves. That is something. When I was in third grade, I had a third grade teacher, and she had a little sign on the front of her desk. God bless her. Mrs. Hummels, I remember her name. And it said, "I'm here to help you help yourself." It's a simple thing. It's a simple idea. But we need to help the land to help us, you know. And if we keep bombarding the land and destroying the land, and the reason why we're destroying the land is because we have 650 billion people trying to live off of it. And we are, you know, just like the financial bubble, we have an agricultural bubble going on with this. We're sort of like banking on our future with putting all this fertilizer on the ground and over-cultivating the land so that we can grow more grain, so we can feed animals, so we can eat the animals. We've got to cool it. We've got to pare back. So part of that sustainability is also is understanding global warming and trying to reverse that too. So I'm trying to get to my, I believe it's my final point, one of my final points. Let me talk about a huge, huge news story that came out in September. This was just delight. Delight, delight, delight to every vegetarian's ears and eyes when we read this story. A gentleman, Dr. Ranjendra Pachauri, let me spell that, R-A-J-E-N-D-R-A Pachauri, P-A-C-H-A-U-R-I, Ranjendra Pachauri, okay? And he is the chair of the United Nations Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change. And he is a Nobel Prize winner. He shared a Nobel Prize recently. And his expertise, obviously, is climate change. And God bless him. He came out with a pronouncement recently. He said that every human being on Earth should designate one day where they do not eat animal products. And this just tickled me pink. It warmed the cockles of my heart and all that kind of good stuff. It delighted me immensely. All right. And let me give you a quote from this guy, and look this up and delight in it yourself. In terms of immediacy of action and the feasibility of bringing about reductions in a short period of time, it, meaning this reduction, not eating meat one day a week, is clear. It clearly is the most attractive opportunity. Give up meat for one day a week, initially, and decrease it from there, he said. Okay, why is this, in terms of immediacy and feasibility, the best way to bring down global warming, reducing the threat of global warming? Well, let me explain that in case you're unfamiliar with this. Livestock produce global warming gases. There was a a report that came out of the United Nations, a 400-page report, and this wasn't some little booklet. This was 8.5 by 11 size pages, 400 pages, and it was called Livestock's Long Shadow, and it was a scathing report about livestock around the world, about the environmental devastation that livestock cause. But the biggest fact, the fact that blew us all away, was that it said that, in fact, all of the livestock on planet Earth cause more global warming gases in CO2 equivalent than all the world's transport vehicles in CO2 equivalent. And we were all shocked. I mean, I wasn't shocked, really, but the rest of the world, anybody who read it, of course, it was the story was buried, of course, but it's slowly seeping out because I have an automatic email that comes to me when anywhere in the mainstream media the word I think global warming and livestock are in the same story. So I get little emails, you know, on a regular basis. So the UN is basically saying that 20% of all global warming gases are coming from livestock. My God. And in fact, 13% are coming from all the world's vehicles, including airplanes and trucks and cars, all the trucks, everything, planes. They don't cause as much global warming as the world's livestock. And all of this is anthropogenic. Learn the word. Anthropogenic, meaning it's caused by human beings. And the global warming gases that come from animals are methane and nitrous oxide. And these are very potent greenhouse gases. Very potent. Like 23 times more potent than CO2. In the case of methane, and something like 220% or something. It's in that neighborhood in the case of nitrous oxide. And these are the gases that are produced by livestock. And so, if we can reduce the amount of livestock in the world, because they're here, so we can eat them, you know, which is a completely unnecessary thing. If we can reduce the amount of livestock, you know, let the animals roam free, that's fine. But the livestock, we must reduce them. If we could reduce them, we could reduce global warming gases in the fastest way possible because a little bit goes a long way. And that's what he's trying to say. So, I mean, there's lots more I could say about the environment. I want to cut this off at this point. But I want to say that we have a crazy, crazy situation right now. We are so off the track. You know, we're so in trouble now with our economy, with our priorities, with our general philosophy, the way we treat the earth, the way we treat each other. The way that we approach people who not only, I mean, there's so much racism and sexism and discrimination and disrespect between human beings. And it seems like the powers that be like the discord. They, I hesitate to say they get off on it, but they definitely profit from the fact, from disagreements from human beings. So, you know, what we need to do is smile on your brother. You know, that was a great song back in the 60s, smile on your brother. And care about people around the world, people who are disenfranchised. We need to lower the amount of desperation in the world, you know. And notice, I haven't said a word about terrorism, because I don't believe that it is anywhere near the problem that that our governments say it is. In fact, they're the problem by emphasizing terrorism, because I don't see it. I don't see it. That's the whole of the story. What we need is to reduce the amount of, you know, people getting in each other's business. You know, we have to reduce this military, this insane military, $1,200 billion. What is that? So $100 billion, let me see. So that is $1.2 trillion a year is spent on armaments. There's something really, really wrong with that. And the only reason why we have it is because there's so much unsustainability, and people are not living in sustainably with the earth. Yeah. So there's desperation, there's discord, and, you know, ultimately behind the whole engine are the war profiteers. That's my personal opinion. So with that said, go vegan. Go vegan. Convince the world. Oh, and also just a little report on the Veggie Pride Parade. Just a quick report. Again, it's October 18, 2008 right now. We had our Veggie Pride Parade in May of this year. It was a smashing success. And we're going to make it twice as fabulous and successful next year in May. It will happen. We're going to do it. 2009 in May. Tentative, pencil it in right now. It's not set as yet precisely, but we're hoping for May 17, 2009. Okay? Don't schedule anything for that day, because you need to be in New York City that day in Greenwich Village. We're going to have the same route. I've talked to the police department. They can't wait to do it again next year. They were very pleased, and they were very gracious and professional, and they're good men on the Greenwich Village 6th Precinct, I think it is the 6th Precinct, in New York City Police Department, and the Parks Department was very gracious to Veggie Pride Parade. And we're going to try and do it next year, but pencil in May 17, 2009. It's so exciting. And with that, go vegan, keep educating, contact Veggie Pride Parade, Viva Veggie Society, Pamela Rice. I'm Pamela Rice. Get yourself some copies of some pro-vegetarian literature. There's so much good stuff out there right now. It used to be just veggie, you know, Viva Veggie and 101 Reasons and a little bit of PETA, you know. But now we have so much good literature, and we can help people live a compassionate life and live an intelligent, logical life by going the vegan lifestyle. So, and we can be compassionate toward the disenfranchised, the lowest of the low, the people who are living on the edge on a dollar a day around the world. So there we go. It's always hard to sign off, but that's what I'm going to do. Okay, this is Hard News Vegan. This is Pamela Rice. This is Hard News Vegan. October 18, 2008 is today's date. This is in New York City. Over and out, and thank you for listening.
Just about wraps it up for this edition of Hard News Vegan. This is Pamela Rice, your host. Thank you again, Joseph Fuentes, for technical support. And until next time, stay strong, stay vegan, and take a meat eater to lunch.